Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke and I'm joined by team captain of Team Last Place, Denise Salcedo.
Hashtag bread that bread, baby.
Okay, I mean,
I've got my own hashtag.
I've got 1,000 questions to ask you about your Quiz on Mania performance, but we'll get to that in the outro portion of this podcast. We're talking about Survivor Series to kick things off here. What can be done to improve it? Here is the show. Well, speaking of every man for themselves and being dumb, Survivor Series is coming up this Sunday. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Survivor Series, particularly the build for this year, because I feel like there was a report from Meltzer a couple of weeks ago that people in the back are a little bit tired of Survivor Series because it kind of derails the stories that they're working on. Like, the Raw at the moment is building this title picture around Randy Orton, The Fiend, The Miz, and Drew McIntyre. And there's been some lip service to his match with Roman, but it's not like a big deal or anything. And the word is that WWE are doing Survivor Series this year with the brand warfare thing because it's what they've done for the last 4 years. So they just feel like they have to do it now, even though they don't actually want to do it now. So what are your feelings on Survivor Series this year?
I think the major issue is not necessarily doing a Raw versus SmackDown, because I feel like you could do it. If you do it right, it could work, right? However, this Survivor Series, it kind of feels like they're going in and they're putting all these matches together just because there's no real storyline. There's not meaning into wanting to win, why the teams want to win aside from them being on Raw and SmackDown. But even the matches that, you know, are like championship matches, like, okay, yeah, they're not even anything, like, there's no real story. I think that's the big problem. You got to give me a reason to care. You just can't put these people in a match and because they're big names or because they're popular that you just expect everybody to be interested in it. And yeah, we're probably going to have a lot of good matches. That's not even the issue. But I think the fact that I don't think there's a match that I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hyped for it because this is finally going to happen. I don't feel that way. And that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, there's only really one match that I've got that kind of feeling for, which is New Day Street Profits. Because, like, that's the match where I'm like, oh, that's quite... Because that's a match we've not seen before. So I'm like, oh, that's quite cool. They've always been kept away on opposite brands. I mean, Street Profits haven't been up for a massively long time, like, but that's the one match where I'm like, oh, that's quite interesting. And actually, even if New Day dropped the titles on Monday and it goes against the Hurt Business, I'm actually still thinking, like, huh, Hurt Business versus New Day. Yeah, I could be quite behind that match.
Right. See, and I don't feel that way about any match. And so that's kind of, that's, you know, that bums me out. But I just really do think that instead of, like, for example, like all the qualifier matches, like, yeah, some of them have been pretty good, but for the most part, it's just, okay, let's put opponent A, opponent B, and whatever. Like, there's no real stakes into this. So yeah, I just think that they could have done, it doesn't matter if it's Raw versus SmackDown. I think if they make it mean something, then okay. But yeah, I do get the sense of, like, should do it, you know, totally different, where we should have, you know, just real stakes into this. That's the main takeaway from all of it.
Yeah, and the reason why this podcast title came around is actually from three different mailbag questions that we got, which was just sort of like a bit down on Survivor Series. And, you know, like, I think we across the board at WrestleTalk have been a bit down on this as well. Ollie's about the only person who is into Survivor Series, and that's because he's into Team Raw. Like, he likes what Team Raw are doing, and he really likes Captain AJ. But, like, firstly, Dwayne the Gronk Johnson said, what are your thoughts on the concept of Survivor Series? I'm finding the idea of SmackDown versus Raw and the whole brand warfare stuff really boring. And I think partly because of that is there's no figureheads anymore, because WWE, in their infinite wisdom, and I do think they were right to do this at the time, was to get rid of authority figures, because they were the problem. It was heel authority figures were the real problem with WWE. Because we don't have a Shane McMahon at the head of SmackDown, or we don't have a Stephanie at the head of Raw, or a Baron Corbin at the head of Raw, or what have you, you're asking the question of, like, well, who are you fighting for then? Like, the network? It's like, why do I care if USA Network win? Like, why do I care?
It feels more just like a sense of pride, maybe. Is that reaching? Am I reaching for a sense of pride? Is it just because your favorite color is red or blue?
Well, that's it, because, like, you know, 4/5 of Team Raw were on SmackDown last month. Like, Keith Lee's the only member of Team Raw that's been, like, Raw from the beginning. So, like, why does AJ care if Raw wins?
That's true. Can you fall in love that quickly with a brand within just a couple of weeks? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, and I'm not behind the brand warfare thing, but I think partly because that is because we have no reason to care about brand warfare. I've seen a lot of people, like, make suggestions, like, it should be about Royal Rumble positions. So, like, if 4 members of your team survive, then you are the last 4 places in the Royal Rumble. At least then there's some stakes behind this. Or, like, you know, if you are a surviving member of your team, that gets you a title shot in the next couple of weeks, or in the next couple of months, or something along those lines. At least, like, there's some tangible stuff to this.
Oh, I 100% agree. And I think that's something that's believable, where you can get people from the same brand that are feuding each and every single week. But hey, for this one night, let's all be friends, because it's in our best interest, because we all want to get that, what, you know, those great spots, whether it be in the Royal Rumble or whatever stakes they put out there. Like, they can get creative with this. So I do agree in the sense where they can do something different just to really add stakes and meaning.
Yeah, I mean, Owen puts the question here. I have a take on what I want to see you guys think. I'm pretty sick and tired of the how will they get along storyline for the Survivor Series teams every single year. Can we have a year where they just keep it simple and the actual 5-on-5 is for brand supremacy, whatever the hell that's worth? My example is the 2005 Survivor Series men's elimination match, where the heels and faces of Raw and SmackDown actually came together for the greater cause, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I'm fully behind Ollie Davis in his thoughts on team enjoying Team Raw. Like, he's, you know, absolutely right to think it, because I'm kind of enjoying the stuff with Team Raw as well. The problem is, Team Raw not getting along is being massively undermined, because Team Raw on the women's team also aren't getting along, and right, Team SmackDown aren't getting along. So it's like, well, no one's getting, like, it's the same story on every single team. I don't even, like, are they doing a story with the SmackDown women's team?
And maybe they think that that's a way to make it interesting. Like, oh, they're not going to get along. Is this going to cost them their match because they're not all friends? But it's the age old thing that we've been seeing again constantly over and over. And we all know that things always work out in the end, for the most part.
And lastly, this is an interesting one from Adonis, who said, every year, like clockwork, WWE starts doing brand warfare during Survivor Series season, blood feud matches for Hell in a Cell, and so on. My question is, should WWE start randomizing the dates for pay-per-views every year from now on? I get that you want to keep Mania and the Royal Rumble at yearly intervals and SummerSlam because it takes place during the summer, but shuffling pay-per-views could make for less predictable booking, i.e. brand warfare season, and so on. I mean...
So does he mean like switching the months up for the pay-per-views, like not having it be like your traditional month?
Yeah. So like you as a viewer don't know what month Survivor Series is going to come in. So like, you know, it could happen in March. Like, you're kind of onto something, Adonis, but at the same time, you as a fan would probably start to work things out. Like when Pat McAfee came back and aligned himself with Lurkin and Birch and Lorkin, and then Pete Dunne arrives, and you're like, huh, a four-man team going up against the Undisputed Era, eh? I think that War Games might be round the corner.
See, I like that perspective, and I was thinking it more as in, so my answer is no, right? I think that it should be like, whatever your month is, that's the pay-per-view that we're expecting. And for different reasons, one of them being, one, apparently I don't like change because I wouldn't want it just for the fact that I don't want to see this change happen. So maybe that's just my old school traditional brain. But the second one would be, I'm thinking more in terms of marketing. Marketing would be very, very hard to get around it. Like, let's say we weren't in COVID era and, you know, you're going around different cities and you know those tickets go on sale months in advance. How on earth would you be buying tickets for a show that you don't even know what the show is? And like, what if it's a pay-per-view that you're not even, that you don't even care for? And then you're all hoping it's Survivor Series or the Royal Rumble or whatever. And then it ends up being something lame. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, the only one that I would change in this, and I've said this before, is getting rid of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I hate the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view because what you end up with is one match that is worthy of a Hell in a Cell match and then a couple of other matches that are just there because. Like, why was Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre in a Hell in a Cell this year? Because, like, they could have told the story. It's to keep the legends out, but then they didn't tell that story. They just did it because it was time. It was October, so we had to do a Hell in a Cell match.
And do you still get excited for Hell in a Cell matches?
Nope, absolutely not. No, no.
Did you before?
Oh yeah. Oh, dude. Like when they announced, like, Hell in a Cell's coming. Armageddon 2000, when they were like, it's Hell in a Cell and there's six people inside. I was like, what? No, you're never gonna do that. It was the most exciting thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's the major issue. The fact that most of us, you know, before we used to see the Hell in a Cell as this is the real deal. If this feud, this storyline made it to the Hell in a Cell, that's how you know that you were watching A, like a top-notch story. B, that it was, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we have throughout the years so many different storylines, right? But there's always those ones that are at the very top. You knew they were at the very top if they ended in a match like a Hell in a Cell. And so that for me was special. If like a match that I was like a feud that I was really into ended up being a Hell in a Cell match, like I remember being very excited about that. And I took it seriously, like, oh my God, like this is going to be the real thing. And now that has been completely stripped away where it's okay, it's the pay-per-view. So, you know, whatever match is hot enough, we'll make it in there. And so, yeah, as a fan, I've lost interest in the stipulation because it doesn't mean anything anymore and it used to mean something.
So to go back to our original question, Denise Salcedo, how would you fix Survivor Series?
How would I fix Survivor Series? Honestly, I have to agree with everything that we just talked about. Give it stakes, build up the actual feud, make it a big deal. When you're doing your pre-show, like talk about stats, talk about, you know, who's been the sole survivor, who hasn't been a sole survivor, what does it take to get there, how many matches have Raw won, how many have SmackDown won, important stuff like that, you know, just so that, you know, I like numbers, like I like video packages where they talk about the Royal Rumble numbers, where they talk about just little facts in general, because that gets you you hyped up, right? And so doing something like that, and like I said, adding stakes and everything else that we just mentioned prior to this, I think would definitely elevate the Survivor Series a lot more. And I do think having those things would make it feel more unpredictable instead of just being like, okay, nobody cares if all of Raw wins or all of SmackDown wins, because come on, 2018 Survivor Series, and then the only match that SmackDown won was the pre-show match and then won nothing else. And you would think, okay, maybe something would happen. Let's play off of that. No, it was like completely forgotten. And so that already set a precedent for, hey, it doesn't really matter if Raw or SmackDown or NXT wins.
Yeah, and that's it. And like I didn't say this on the Raw review when we did this on Tuesday, but I was talking to my wife about this, and I was trying to explain to her, like, you know, Survivor Series and sort of like, you know, what's going on in the product at the moment. And I just said to her, and I was like, the problem is WWE themselves don't care about Survivor Series. So I'm now watching a show where I'm wasting my time. Like this month has been a total waste of my time. It's been a waste of my time. It's been a waste of your time. It's been a waste of everyone's time watching the show, because WWE are putting on a show they couldn't care less about. So why am I watching? Like, so now I'm just wasting my time.
Luke, do you want to know something sad? Oh, wait, actually, never mind. Finish your thought.
No, you go. No, you go. What's sad?
Okay. I want to add to the fact that you said that you're wasting your time, because last week I didn't do the Raw review. So I have not seen Raw at all. And based on, and I only caught like the last few minutes of Louis and Sean's stream. So I only really caught a little bit. And here's the thing, that I missed an entire week of Raw, 3 hours of television. And everybody within like 4 bullet points on Twitter was able to tell me what I missed. And I didn't miss anything. And here's the thing, like I should be behind. I should technically be behind. I should have missed a lot of storytelling. I should have missed a lot. But the truth is, I'm probably going to go back this Monday and I'm going to be seeing the exact same thing and nothing much is going to change. And obviously we get replays, so I'm perfectly fine. And it shouldn't be that way. I should have fallen behind.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I think the fact that there is no storyline reason for Survivor Series outside of it is November, that is the easiest thing to fix on this, is to give it some stakes, give it some actual purpose, give it a reason. But also, and you pointed this out, give it a follow-up. NXT won Survivor Series last year, but what did that mean for NXT? What did that mean for Raw? What did that mean for SmackDown? It meant nothing, actually.
They're not even in it this year.
No. SmackDown lost every single match apart from the pre-show 2 years ago. Meant nothing for SmackDown. Meant absolutely diddly dick for them. And it meant absolutely nothing for Raw either. Like, no one gained anything from this. And yeah, so there are some very simple things that you could do with Survivor Series. But I do think ultimately, the last thing we'll sort of say on this, I think ultimately WWE have not cared about Survivor Series for quite some time. I think there was a report like 15 years ago, maybe it was 10 years ago or something, where Vince McMahon wanted to drop Survivor Series because he didn't like it anymore. And so the company would just go like, oh, we're just not going to do Survivor Series. But then because the news broke out and a lot of fans got upset that they were taking away the thing and they were making a change, that they were like, oh, okay, well, we'll keep it then. So I just think they've always had this sort of resentment against the show. And yeah, I think if you're not going to care about your pay-per-view, why bother putting it on?
Exactly. And I don't like that. Like, care about it. If you care about it, we'll care about it. It's the cycle of life.
Right, let's move on to the AEW NXT ratings war. Both shows were up from last week because they weren't coming up against, the presidential coverage. Full Gear was up 6.6% to 764,000 viewers, while NXT was up 3.6% to 632,000 viewers. Dynamite 17th in the all-important 18 to 49 demo. NXT was at, I think it didn't make it into the top 15. I think it pulled in a 0.16. So NXT was up. Both shows were up. Otherwise, you know, Dave Meltzer put up on Twitter that it's not a great number for AEW coming off the back of a pay-per-view. You'd expect a much bigger bump, especially a show that got such rave reviews as well. So I think it would be seen as a bit of a disappointment for Dynamite. Thoughts on the shows last night?
Well, I will say, okay, so just to kind of give you a couple of my thoughts on the show. So I thought that if you were going to compare any episode of AEW and NXT that aired the same week and were completely polar opposites, this was the perfect week to do that in the sense that NXT felt very, very wrestling heavy. We got a lot of really good matches. There were only a few, like I would say, big moments. Obviously, the Leon Ruff thing was a big moment. And I know some people didn't like it. Some people did. I'm on the side that I did like it because it added the element of surprise. And whenever that can happen in wrestling, whenever I don't feel like I know what's going to happen or, you know, I'm not completely surprised, I don't like that. I like to be surprised. And I was surprised with this. So I did like this. And but other than that, I thought there was nothing else on the show on NXT that felt major. Then on AEW, I felt that this was very like they just threw everything like ball to the wall crazy, like let's do this, let's do that. Now I was not a fan of everything that went down on the show. I wasn't a fan of how they introduced the Shaquille O'Neal announcement. I thought it could have been done completely different. I thought that Jade looked phenomenal, but she didn't cut a great promo. I thought the promo was very, very bad. I thought being put in a position like that, you have to have a better promo set, better promo skills, especially if you're going to be making this big announcement and, you know, you're in this thing with Cody, you have this big moment with Brandy, and Brandy completely outshined her in terms of promo work, like completely. I thought Brandy did a great job. I wasn't a fan of this whole segment though. I thought it was just a little bit not really my style, but I do have to applaud Brandy's promo work there. And there was a lot of other good stuff that happened on the show, two totally different shows that I'm not going to complain about because I thought that they both brought two totally different things to different types of fans that might prefer certain things and might prefer, you know, again, like we've talked about this before, there's people that prefer just like straight wrestling and that's all we care about. And then there's people that want more of the bells and whistles, more of the entertainment aspect that we see AEW bring in. And so I thought they both offered different things.
Yeah. Ollie and I, when we were talking about that Cody segment, were just like, you know what? Like, I didn't hate the segments. I didn't love the segment either, but I would not show it to a new fan. Like if I was trying to convince a new fan to come on board and watch AEW, that is not the segment I would show them. Like I would show them the main event, but I would not show them the Cody segment.
Yeah, there was just a lot of question marks there. Like, first of all, who's this girl coming in? We don't know her. Eventually we got to that. Two, what is her relationship? What is her connection with Shaquille O'Neal? Three, why, if Shaquille O'Neal was, you know, at full gear, why couldn't they do like a pre-recorded segment or just something with his actual face and voice and likeness in it? So that's more of where like my thought process came into this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Well, let's dive into your Patreon mailbag questions. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk, donate at any dollar amount, and leave a comment in the community section labeled mailbag. Do not email me. I will just lose it. Bad at my job. We've got a packed old mailbag again this week. Rene says, "Hey, Luke and Denise, hope you're having a wonderful day. I was curious about your top five shows and one show that you wish you'd never watched. For me, it's Friends, Stranger Things, The Office, Community, and Impractical Jokers. And I wish I'd never wasted my time watching Big Bang Theory. I just don't find it funny." Oh, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think Big Bang Theory is quite terrible. I think it's a very bad show.
What? I was a fan of the Big Bang Theory. Like, maybe the last two seasons I didn't watch, but like all the early seasons I binge watched. I got the flu for like 2 weeks and I was at home, and that is what I watched, was the Big Bang Theory. And what was his question though?
The question was top five shows, like shows that you would watch and a show that you wish you'd never really spent time watching.
What are yours?
Okay, I mean, Twilight Zone's my favorite TV show of all time. Freaks and Geeks is a show that I absolutely love. I think I'd probably go something like, I mean, because I'm watching Buffy at the moment, so I guess I would think that, but it's like not one of my favorite shows ever. Taskmaster is a great show. Frasier is always great. And I want to pick something like, you know, because I do watch a lot of Friends. Friends is over here a lot. Like, Friends plays like 24. Friends is like 24 hours a day it's on here in the UK still in 2020. So I think I want to say Friends. Am I going to say Friends? Give me some of yours so I can give some time to think.
Friends. Friends. How I Met Your Mother. Those are like my favorite. I Love Lucy. Sex in the City. Oh God, a lot of recent ones too. Like I love recent shows that I love. The Morning Show, which is barely going into that second season. Right?
That was really good show. I haven't finished it. We haven't finished it yet, but it's so good.
Oh, no, I was scared. I was like, oh, I don't want to give you any spoilers. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, but like, oh, I'd love it. Jennifer Aniston's great in that show.
Oh, she's
rushing it in that show. She's so great.
Here's my rule. If Reese Witherspoon is in it, I'm watching it.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is the exact same thing. She is a Hello Sunshine fan. Like, if it is a Hello Sunshine production, she is all over it.
Yes, I'm with her on that one. And show I never wish I watched. God, I hated the last season of Lost. That was such a good show, but the last season was awful.
Yeah, I Lost is a really good answer. I think I'm going to say. Which is a shame because I loved Dexter so much, but the last season made me so mad that I kind of wish I'd never watched it and got invested.
That's how I met your mother ending too, actually.
Yeah. So like, I don't want that crushing disappointment to happen again. I should say The Simpsons really as like my fifth one, like, you know, seasons 1 through 13, maybe even up to 14. Like, it's, you know, modern day Simpsons, not as good, but like, you cannot touch early days. Like those first four, and that's pretty 14 years of like quality and statement. Like, that's pretty good going. Okay, I might need you to help again because it's my Spanish lesson of the week, Denise.
Oh, let me find Juana it.
Villanona. So it's the second mailbag question.
Is it Frank?
No, Frank comes up later. That is another Spanish lesson, but this one is from Juan.
Yes. Oh, I'm here.
So, saluda familia.
Say it again.
Saluda familia.
You know what? Not bad. Saluda familia. Yeah.
Okay. And then, oh. Okay.
This one's hard.
Okay. It is. Okay. How do you know? Nope. I need to hear this one said out loud first because I can't read it.
Que hay de nuevo?
Okay. Even then, I can't do it. Because.
So it's que.
Que.
Hay.
Hay.
De.
De.
Nuevo.
Nuevo.
Good que job.
You did it, Luke. Que hay de nuevo.
Yeah, you know what? It's not bad. Honestly, you have a good voice for it. You just got to get comfortable and confident, and I think you'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah, the confidence thing is very much where I'm lacking. Anyway, listening to Luke's Spanish is just lovely. I don't think it is. I'll make it a weekly thing. Maybe one day you'll be able to do a full mailbag in Spanish. That is big thinking. I could barely do it in English. Definitely this is my favorite show of the week.
That's terribly sad.
First thing, Denise, remember you said you were going to watch Walter versus Dragunov?
I did.
I know that you did because you watched it literally about an hour before we did this show.
I did. I remembered. I was like, I'm every day, you know, those things that you're like, oh, I got to do this. But then you go the whole day and you didn't do it. And you're like, oh, I got to do this. Right. Well, I finally got to it today. And I was like, oh, my God, that's it. Like, I got to watch. And like, the show's about to do it. And I know for a fact someone's going to ask me. Holy dang. All right. So I'll just start off by saying that I want to be Dragunov. That guy is a badass. I want to be him. All right. Nobody should be doing any chops or slaps in wrestling right now unless they look like Walters. All right. If they're not that impressive, you can't do them right now. Take a moment, take a break. Don't do it. You'll just be outshined. You know, have you seen Rocky, the movie? Like,
oh, any of
the
movie? Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know how like they when they put on those boxing fights and they're obvious, they're very cinematic. They get you in the story and you're like, oh, my God, like what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right. Like that feeling. Mm-hmm. I had that with this match where it felt like the storytelling was so strong in this match that it felt like you were watching something out of a movie, out of a film scene, like this very, very dramatic outcome between these two men who are just killing each other. And it's very different from just having a phenomenal match. It had that extra thing to it. And I don't even know what that extra thing is called, but it just had it. And I loved it. And one of the things that commentary kept talking about was the fact that they kept saying, oh, you know, they're redefining violence and all of that. And I really felt like they did that in terms of, you know, we've been seeing a lot of like hardcore matches, a lot of matches that are supposed to be very, very violent. And this one had no weapons, but it had more violence and more like grit, more brutality than in anything else that I've seen of recently that had weapons and blood and all of this other stuff included. Dragunov's chest afterwards was completely damaged. I don't know if he posted any sort of photos on social media about it. I haven't seen them, but I would love to see some photos from like afterwards, because based on just what he looked like at that moment, and you know it's going to be worse afterwards, it was just incredible. It was good stuff. And I just watched it right now. I'm really late to the party, so I have like all of this fresh perspective into it right now. But it was really good. And I thought commentary did a great job at putting over Walter. Not Walter, Walter.
Walter, yes. I mean, I've seen Walter Dragunov have matches before, and like those two kill each other every single time, and it is great. Walter is one of my favorite wrestlers on this planet. I think he is an incredible talent. You said there were no weapons in this match, but Walter is the weapon. Like, he is an absolute machine of a man. He's so, so charismatic, and like Dragunov, man. So we went to the BT Sports WWE launch earlier this year, back in January, when we were allowed to see people and go to events. And they had like a couple of matches on, and they it was full of NXT UK guys. Although they did Nikki Cross versus Charlotte Flair as well. It's the first match they've ever had together, which was pretty good. And Sheamus's it was his return match. It was the first match he had back from his injury against Andrade. But the main event had Mustache Mountain teaming with Dragunov, and you know, there's like, I don't know, 100 people at this event maybe, but I got so in, like, Dragunov, whenever he makes his entrance, me and Ollie have always said, whenever Dragunov makes his entrance, it brings out something primal in me. Like, it really does. Like, there's something guttural that comes out of me whenever I see Dragunov make his entrance, the way that he slaps the floor and everything.
Movement.
Like, the movement and everything. He brings something primal out of me. It's incredible the amount he does it. And, like, the best thing about NXT UK, which I don't think is a great product, but the best thing about it is that they have changed a lot of things about people. Like, they will change presentations about a lot of wrestlers that I really like. But the two presentations they have not changed are Walter and Dragunov. And that's why they're the best people on the brand.
So let me ask you a question. Obviously, since you're new, you're in the UK, do you think that they should just drop NXT UK and bring over those guys over to just regular NXT?
I personally, absolutely. Like, I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet against NXT UK because it was launched for totally cynical reasons. World of Sport was being launched here on ITV, so WWE were annoyed that they didn't get the ITV spot because that's what they've been wanting to get for years. They've been wanting to get off Sky and go to ITV where it's on free TV and it's a much bigger audience. Like, you know, someone pointed out recently that AEW's ITV numbers, despite the fact that it's shown at like 11 p.m. here on a random ass Monday, draws way better than WWE figures do because it's on free TV. And like, it's, you know, it's on a massive tape delay, but it's on free TV. So it's automatically going to draw way better numbers than WWE does on BT Sport, which I'd imagine is probably a bit of a, you know, pisses them off a little bit. So they launched NXT UK for completely cynical reasons. They then went and they just hoovered up a lot of the really good talent around the UK for very cynical reasons, particularly because some of them were trying to sign with World of Sport. So they just stacked them away to just sign them at, with no plans for them whatsoever. And then they were saying like, we're going to be working with these British promotions. We're going to be doing this now. Yeah. And then what they ended up doing was taking talent away from them and making them shut down. We've lost a lot of UK promotions because of NXT UK. So I do have a bit of a bee in my bonnet against them. So I would like to see that brand shut down. And because like, there's so much great talent that they have signed up. I want to see them. If you're going to sign them, put them on a much bigger platform where you are going to get the best out of them. Like, there's no reason outside of Walter not wanting to be there why Walter shouldn't be on NXT, the main NXT card, or actually on Raw and SmackDown. Like, and Dragunov, like, he should be on Raw and SmackDown.
It shouldn't be that hard. As a person who covers wrestling, for example, I'm watching this match 2 weeks late. It shouldn't be like that. It should be like this match was on a show that I'm watching on a weekly basis religiously, and I didn't have to make time, extra time, to go out of my way to watch it. And I'm saying that because when you have talent that is that good, they should be put at the forefront of your products that you're pushing out to the mainstream world. And yeah, NXT UK is more, you know, geared towards a different audience, to a more niche audience. And so it is harder for the masses to see it, but it's more, you know, the masses would have to go out of their way to actually watch this unless it's part of their regular programming. And it doesn't make sense to me why, hey, I'm watching 3 hours of Raw where I'm seeing the same matches over and over, where you have this hidden gem over at NXT UK and you're putting out matches like this. If people weren't talking about this match, probably nobody would even go in and watch it. Part of the reason why I and so many other people are going to tune in to watch this match is because people were talking about it. And so, like I said, it should just be put out there. You want to, you know, there's so much talk every single week about ratings and ratings war. Okay, if I owned any company, I'm going to put my very best in the front so that I could be the winner. And so, yeah, and for all the reasons that you said, I do agree with you. If somebody signs, if an athlete, it doesn't matter from where, if you're from the UK, if you're from wherever, if you sign with WWE, who is the biggest company in the world in wrestling, I don't care what anyone says, that's just the truth. Those are just the facts. They're the biggest company. So when you bring in talent, you want to make sure that they get that proper exposure that somebody like a Randy Orton or a Becky Lynch would get. You want to have that, and they shouldn't be niched down into this box where it's just, okay, you're from the UK, you work this style, let's put you in this brand.
Yeah, it is baffling that they've got Kylie Rae and they've got Viper, and they're just stuck on NXT UK. Like, those are two incredible wrestlers who should be on a much bigger stage than what they are. Like, Kaylee Ray has been like, she's been NXT UK women's champion for, like, I don't know, 5 years at this point. And, like, you know, and, like, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And it's a real shame because she is such a great talent who should be on a much, much bigger stage than what she is. We need to move on because we've got, like, we're running out of time. We've still got loads of questions that we've not got to yet. Manraj, when did it become cool to cheer the bad guy? The NWO, 1996, I would guess.
I think I started cheering the bad guy, like, naturally. It was just a natural thing from being a fan in the early days. Like, I don't remember a specific moment. It was just a natural thing.
Jamie Shields, as I listen to this, I'm currently on my long run. Check this out, 10 kilometers plus. Like, that's a long-ass run, Jamie. You're my podcast of choice for my weekend run, and I appreciate what you guys do. It allows the time to pass quickly. Thank you very much for listening, Jamie. Who is your most underrated wrestler, past or present? Not necessarily because they didn't get used on TV, but because you see something in them which makes you wish they could be pushed more. Mine is Chad Gable.
That's a really good pick. What's yours?
I mean, Ricochet is the one that springs to mind. Of just, like, I look at that guy and I'm like, why aren't you in a much higher position on the card than you currently are? Mustafa Ali, actually, you know, from the same reason, where I look at him and I'm like, how is this guy just, like, constantly being put into either storylines that go nowhere or terrible gimmicks that aren't going to get him over?
See, I think in WWE, you nailed it in terms of Gable and Mustafa Ali. Outside of WWE, in terms of, like, underrated, I would definitely say Jay White. I feel that he's done so much and has changed so much and has so many positives, but I don't necessarily think he gets the credit that he deserves from the fans.
Do you know what? Jay White's a really interesting one because 3 years ago, when Gedo was pushing him, being like, hey, he's going to be our next guy, and particularly after, you know, I think they probably thought, saw the writing on the wall that Kenny might be going, that they were like, we're going to push him. They put him over Tanahashi and all this and the other. And, like, a lot of people were like, Jay White, really? Are we sure? Are we sure on this one? I don't think this is going to work at all. But dude has pulled it out the bag. Like, Gedo saw it, and we did not. And that is full credit to Gedo. That is full credit to Jay White as well. That guy is incredible. What an amazing talent he is now. What a proper main event talent he has become. And that is through hard work and a company being fully behind someone. Yeah, absolutely. Like, full credit to them.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris Duncan, if you could trade one star right now between Raw and SmackDown, who would you choose and why? He picked Tucker to SmackDown, Big E to Raw. I'll tell you what. Seth Rollins back to Raw, so we can get him away from Buddy Murphy, Aaliyah, and the Mysterios. Just any way to separate them out.
I just feel that because we just had the draft, I don't feel like I have anybody that I'm like, oh, this person should move back over here. I don't know, maybe Biggie back with New Day. That would probably be the only thing I can think of right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I Chris's reason for putting Tucker on SmackDown is just so he can feud with Otis. Which at least makes sense. Yeah. I completely agree with that. Right here, more Spanish here from Frank.
Let me pull this up. Okay. Yeah.
So me, I can get that.
Am I reading it or are you reading it? Sorry.
Right, yeah. I think I need you to say it first so I can kind of, like, because if I was to look at this, I would say, pregunta.
So it's mi pregunta es para Luke.
I wasn't far off then because I said, mi pregunta es para Luke.
Yeah, mi pregunta es para Luke.
Mi pregunta es para Luke.
For you. I don't know if you understood what he's saying, but yeah, he's saying that this question is for you.
Okay, what did the first one mean then?
The first one, he was just basically saying like, hey, like, what's new?
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. What's new? No, not much. I'm pretty good. I'm a bit tired, but I'm okay. Frank says, I don't know who the current champion is. You don't? You don't know who the current champion is? And there is a reason
I don't either. I don't see them.
And there's a reason why you might not have known that Ollie Davis was the champion, Frank. And that's because he wouldn't wear the title on streams because he doesn't care about this title like I do. He says, will anyone else in the office challenge for the championship? It seems like only the top stars are going for it at the moment. I'd like to see Andy, Adam, or even Denise challenge for the title.
Excuse me, top stars and not mentioning Denise Salcedo? How dare you? No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, other people will eventually go for it. It's just that, yeah, we want to try and get the belt over. So we're using the top guys. Top
I was going to say, what is the shipping cost to get that belt over to Los Angeles? I think that might be the issue.
I was going to say, it's costing us like 40, 50 quid a time just to send it in Ubers across London. Like, I don't think we want to then start sending it across like to the US.
That's true. Oh, God.
Oliver Flood, this is a great question. I've noticed the match graphics for Sasha versus Asuka and noticed how weird it is that Asuka has this kick-ass green makeup leaking from her eyes and mouth, but is smiling. Wouldn't it make more sense for her to be doing a cooler pose? And my question is, what are your favorite kind of match graphics? Personally, I miss the moving ones. Oh, I loved moving graphics from like sort of 2003, 2004.
Oh, we should do one. Ready? Three, yeah. Two, one. We did it! Yeah!
I was like the Rocks one where he's just like throwing the hand up to them. It was so great.
Everyone had a good one. And then they would like pause and like, yeah. I don't know. I love those. Those were good.
Yeah, I've always had this. This has actually been one of my small like pet peeves against WWE match graphics is that everyone is smiling and I hate it. It's like, be mean! You're wrestlers. You're about to like fight each other. And they're like, I'm having a match now.
Well, everyone wants to look cute. No one wants to look. I was going to say look and Luke ugly. And all those, I was going to say no one wants to look ugly Luke. And then I said Luke. That's a tongue twister.
And then what you said, unfortunately, was a Freudian slip where you're like, you're butt ugly, Luke.
Okay, I did not mean to call you ugly. I was trying to say no one wants to look ugly, Luke.
Hollywood Salcedo coming out here spitting some fire at me.
Oh, man, I can't. Oh, man. I can't.
Kid Gaskin says, I'm not sure if this question has been asked before. What's the best and worst year to be a WWE fan? 2000 be the best. That is a flawless year of wrestling. And the worst is 2010. There was a year that nearly made me stop watching, but absolutely 100% the best is the year 2000. Brilliant, brilliant year.
I think we had a question similar to this last week, something along those lines. And I got to agree with you on 2000. I mean, for me, I was a big fan of it because it was like peak Triple H and I was a Triple H fan. So
I was a rock guy. I was a peak Rock guy at that point as well. So I was like always looking for my boy to win that title. Should have happened at WrestleMania. Should have happened at WrestleMania 2000.
And then I think my answer was 2013, The Miz.
Marcus Sol Campbell, who do you think shot Johnny Bravo? Personally, I think Tommy Dreamer is responsible.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea at this point. Let's say Mo.
I feel. Who did you say?
I was making the Simpsons reference. I have no idea at this point.
I didn't watch the Simpsons. Like, I watched it very rarely, so I have no. Like, if you give me a Simpsons joke right now or something that's very common in their fandom, it would just go over my head.
Oh, Denise. I thought all wrestling fans were also Simpsons fans. That's what, pretty much all that's all I ever see on Twitter is people making Simpsons jokes, but with wrestling. Flaming Live has got a question. Anyone else feel like we're getting back and forth with Randy and the title? He's at 14. I can see Miz cashing in and then getting it back to 15, Edge getting it in Mania, and Randy getting it back for 16, then lose it to someone, let's say The Fiend, SummerSlam, Cena returns versus Fiend versus Randy. So both of them are going for their record-breaking title win. My fantasy booking would be The Fiend goes over using the two biggest stars in WWE history to do it. For example, if they want to see the 17th win, they have to go through The Fiend. Do you know what? I am going to say no on this one, Flaming Live, because I don't want to see Randy and John Cena feuding for the title in 2021, because you want to talk about something that's been played out and done to death. I'm so over that.
I agree with you, but at the same time, like, seeing where Randy Orton is going, you can't help but to wonder if it's going to happen. But I would hope not, just because I think that, again, it's 2020. We got to see new faces, new champions.
Yeah, even if you're using that to get The Fiend over, I don't think it's going to make a blind bit of difference. Andy also adds as well, challenge for Luke, because I've actually just noticed myself doing it a lot. What is the live streams and you grab your head a lot? I think it's because I sort of do this, sort of like, and rub my head. My challenge is the next one. Well, I don't know, but sometimes I literally just itch my forehead because I had an itch that I had to scratch. Flaming Life says, my challenge for the next watch along, don't grab or touch or hold your head. Absolutely not. If I need to touch or grab and hold my head, I'm going to. Particularly if I'm shocked about something, I'm like, like, that's what you do if you're shocked at something. You grab your head and be like, oh my God. Like, surely, right?
That is savage. You're going to be like with an itchy nose, just wiggling your nose around. See, now my nose is itchy.
I know, right? Like, I'm just saying that now, my nose had to be, I had to touch my, when, before, like, we left the studio, so it was, like, in early days of, like, the COVID panic, I do that, like, I itch my nose a lot, because, like, you know, it just gets itchy, and there were so many comments being, like, stop touching your face, like, now's the time to just really stop touching your face, because, like, that was the early doors, it was, like, you know, stop, if you go outside, don't then go inside and start touching your face. You know, wash your hands and everything. And of course, like, you know, I was washing my hands because that was the guidance at the time. But then I would, like, you know, touch my face in the stream. People were like, stop touching your face. You're like, you've got to stop touching your face.
Yeah, I get that, because I remember everybody was saying that, like, even family members were doing it, like, right at the start, and you didn't realize how much you actually touched your face until you couldn't.
Didn't realize it. And then, but the more people said it, the more I had to do it. The more I'd be like, okay, sorry, you've said it again. And now my head's itchy again.
Yeah.
Kevin says, we praise AEW for going momentum, rightfully so. We had the likes of Cage, Archer, XLAX, Brody Lee, Hager being pushed when they joined the company, which gave us great programs. But after Moxie's victories with Archer, Cage, and to an extent Brody Lee, those guys have cooled off a bit. You can't have a program for everyone, but it feels like there's a lot of up mid-carders with not much to do. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I feel that sometimes it feels like AEW has ideas for certain guys, but not for everybody. So then you see certain guys sort of left out in the cold. And I mean, I'm not going to go on a rant, but I'll mention again, the Lucha Brothers, Brian Cage, Santana and Ortiz. Those are just a couple of names. And there's so many more. Scorpio Sky. I mean, you can really go on and on, but that's also a testament to how strong their roster is. But again, you got to sometimes highlight certain guys, and I don't feel like we get that each and every single week. There's been certain weeks where I'm like, why are we getting a focus on this guy when, you know, we're not paying attention to this guy? Like, even Private Party, they got that win over Young Bucks. And then what happened after that? They're still in the same spot that they were a year ago on the roster.
Yeah, it felt like that win was more for the Bucks than it was for Private Party. It was just like the shock of the Bucks going out first round. I do agree in a sense. I do think that I think that AEW, their sort of plan is cycling people in and out. So, like, you know, Brody Lee was involved in this storyline here, but so as to not overexpose him, we're just going to cycle him out of storylines and then bring him back when the time is right to bring that character back. I think that, and that way, like, guys always stay fresh. It's kind of like, you know, various, it's like a season of a show. Like, you keep characters fresh, you don't overexpose them. I wish they'd do it with Orange Cassidy, because he is a character. And I know he's a ratings mover and stuff, but man, you don't want to overexpose that character, because it can get stale very quickly. Callum says, with Undertaker having his final farewell at Survivor Series and The Fiend teasing he's going to confront him, do you think it will actually happen? Do you think they'll have a match at Mania to be Undertaker's actual final match in front of a crowd, hopefully? Like, I know Undertaker was doing the press rounds this week, and he said that he's not having one more match, and doing a cinematic match would be cheating. But I'll believe it when I see it. Like, I'm kind of at that point with Undertaker. I will believe, like, that's one of the things I'm kind of looking forward to Survivor Series. I'll believe it when I see it, if Undertaker is actually, this is actually a final farewell, or if it's just the tease that we're, like, he's going to come out in a salmon suit, and it's just going to be, you know, the tease of a retirement.
I don't, when I got the press release, I thought, oh, okay. But I didn't actually take it seriously that, hey, this is going to be The Undertaker's retirement. I was just like, all right, cool. We're giving this a name. He's showing up and it's his farewell. I mean, I watched
giving it a name.
Yeah, I'm like, they're just giving it a name.
Absolute burial of this idea. Oh, great. They've given it a name, have they?
That's how I felt. Like, do you honestly believe that it's his retirement? Okay, I watched the Last Ride documentary. Even on the documentary, he said, he talked about this. He said that, yeah, he says, okay, Vince, it's my last match, blah, blah, blah. And then Vince gives him that call and he, you know, he can't say no. And he's the Undertaker and he says yes. And he has that cycle where he pushes himself. I mean, come on. We just saw the documentary, gave us all the answers.
Conor King, if you could pick one star from each major company to face each other, who would you choose? I'd love to see a match where it's Balor versus Pentagon versus Ospreay versus Callahan versus Kenny King. Okay, so it's all going to be in the same match. In which case, then, I'm going for Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega, Sami Callahan, Kazuchika Okada, and who am I going to pick from ROH? I'd have picked Rouge, but I don't think he's with the company anymore.
I was going to give you an answer, but it's the answer I'm going to use.
Dang it! Who am I going to pick? I mean, yeah, I suppose I could pick my mate Joe Hendry.
Okay, so that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Joe Hendry.
He can make that's a song about it.
Exactly, yeah. And he would make a great song about it as well. Who was your pick?
All right, Bandido.
Okay, yeah, great shout.
Bandido. Are we doing Raw, SmackDown, NXT, or just WWE? Sorry.
Just WWE brackets general.
Okay, I would go with... who am I going to go with? Oh, crap. You know what? Because I just watched him 10 seconds ago, I'm going to go with Walter. Mm-hmm. And then for New Japan, I'm going to go with Hiromu. And then, this is going to be a pretty interesting match. All right. And then AEW, I'll go with Hangman Page. Impact, I will go with Willie Mack.
Oh, that's a great show. Oh, that's a really, really good show for old Willie Mack. Yeah.
A bunch of spots with a bunch of chops thrown in there.
The Snapdragon Ryo Odonte, thank you very much for your thoughts on the comparisons between AEW and WWE. I don't really have time to sort of go into them now, but thank you very much for those. It was really, really interesting. My question happens to be about Quizlemania. If you guys tried to get the What Culture guys on the show, I'd love to see all of you guys clash in the chance at the trophy. I think, if memory serves, so like early doors, like when Quizlemania first started up and we realized that it was something that people liked. It was only meant to be a one-off thing. It was just meant to be one show that we did because people were looking for some entertainment, and we thought, well, that'd be a fun thing to do. Everyone's doing quizzes at the moment. We'll do a wrestling-based quiz. And then people really liked it. So we're like, well, I guess we'll do a second then, and we'll get Larson on. That'd be really fun. And then it sort of snowballed from there into, you know, to the behemoth that it is now. So I think early doors, when we were like reaching out to people, we did send some messages out. I don't think they ever really got back to us. So yeah, but I think we have reached out to them previously. But you know what? We've got bigger guests on.
Is that the rule? Like, you reach out once, you get rejected, and you're like, nope, time has passed.
Yeah. I was going to say time has passed. The only time
that's my rule in life.
And as I said, we've got bigger stars now. We've got Denise Salcedo on our show. We've got Sean Ross Sapp on the show now.
Exactly.
We've got Queen of the Ring. What about Brian Zane? Jobber JJ, hey Team Danuk, I've been watching The Invasion and I'm up to that WCW main event of Raw, and it's clear to me that WWE set themselves up for failure with a presentation and match that wasn't good. My question is, how would you have made the WCW main event better? Jobber JJ, there is one simple answer to this. Don't put Megan Bagwell in the main event. You put Lance Storm in that main event. That is one way around it.
That was literally going to be my exact answer. All right. Like my exact, there's no reason why it shouldn't have been Lance Storm. All right.
Should have been Lance Storm. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing would have been for WWE to have not wanted it to fail. Like they wanted that to be such an epic failure. So they had an excuse not to do it anymore. Andrew Donnelly, if you could make one change to the Royal Rumble, what would it be? P.S. I'm from the northeast of Scotland. Can I hear Denise try and do a Scottish accent?
Wait, what do Scottish people sound like?
Like Scotland.
Oh, Drew like McIntyre. Drew McIntyre. That's right, yeah. Right? What should I say?
To make it easy, you could just say, I am Drew McIntyre. I am the WWE champion.
Wait, can you do it one more time?
I'm Drew McIntyre. I'm the WWE champion.
I can't do that. Okay. Okay, hold on. It's not coming out. It's going to be terrible. I'm Drew McIntyre. I can't do it. I'm Drew McIntyre. I can't make a Scottish accent. It doesn't come out right. It sounds Indian. My Scottish accent sounds Indian. It's not working. Yeah,
I'm afraid that didn't quite go to plan, did it? Anyway, Sandra said, if you could make one change to the Royal Rumble, what would it be?
Maybe don't waste the spots on like legends that we don't really want to see. Is that something?
Oh yeah, I quite like the legend spot sometimes. But I think it's gonna be the right kind of like legend spot.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, a legend spot that means something. So like, I mean, I know a lot of people kind of bury it because he's in the Hall of Fame now, but the use of Drew Carey in the 2001 Royal Rumble was absolutely perfect because it was all done to get Kane over, and it massively got Kane over. Like it's one of my favorite rumbles of all time, and that spot, it's so funny, and it comes beautifully after the moment with the Honky Tonk Man as well. Like that, I think the use of the Honky Tonk Man and Drew Carey, that is how you should use like legends and celebrity cameos in a Royal Rumble.
Right. Don't use like the same surprise legends that we see each and every single Royal Rumble though. Like mix it up. Let it be someone that we haven't seen in a long time.
And don't overexpose it either. Like, do you remember that year when all three of the commentators got their spot in the Rumble? Like Michael Cole, Lawler, and JBL all got in. Like
that's the fun.
Yeah. Bryant Heath rather says, I hope you're both happy and healthy. I just wanted to ask, what's your guys' favorite Thanksgiving memory? This would be a question more for you than I, because we don't have Thanksgiving here. So I don't have Thanksgiving memories.
Wow, I completely forgot that Thanksgiving is an American thing. Like for a second I was gonna go, you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, and then I remembered the whole Thanksgiving pilgrims and Indians, and I was like, oh wait, oops, that's only exclusive to us. My bad. My favorite Thanksgiving memories are all like the ones from like early elementary school where we used to do the little turkey with the hand. And then I just love to eat stuffing each and every single year because it's delicious. And that's my favorite part of. Sorry?
Can I ask a question? The turkey with the hand?
Oh, you don't know the turkey with the hand?
No, turkey with the hand. What, does the turkey have a hand?
No. So basically what they do is you're a little kid and you put your hand on construction paper and then you trace your hand and you make a turkey with it. So these are the feathers.
Oh. Okay.
And then is the head. And it's a turkey hand.
That makes more sense. I thought you were drawing turkeys. They've got like human hands. I was like, what is wrong with America?
These Americans be crazy, man. We do be crazy over here.
We recently, just a couple of years ago, obviously we can't do it now, we started doing Friendsgiving. It was just an excuse for us to get together, and we would try and make I'm vegetarian, so we would have like a nut roast or something, but it was just an excuse for us to get together and have a nice big meal together and just watch films. That was really nice. So
it's becoming a big thing here. Like people do like three dinners that week, like Friendsgiving at this family, Friendsgiving here, dinner with this person. It's a whole thing now.
Yeah. I mean, I do love a big, big like Christmas dinner with friends and family. It's great.
What do you eat for Christmas in the
UK? What do I eat for Christmas? Turkey is what we would have for Christmas. Like a turkey and a pork is what we would usually do. Like when I was a youngster, or turkey and beef sometimes.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I was one of the few people who actually liked turkey, because I like to have a turkey sandwich afterwards. It's like one of the best things about Christmas is you would have like your turkey lunch, all the trimmings, and you're so stuffed. And then it gets to sort of about like, you know, 9, half 9, 10 o'clock, and you're like, oh, okay, the royal family Christmas special is going to be on. Let's get some turkey sandwiches, mate. You get some turkey, put some stuffing in there, some cranberry sauce, bit of salt and pepper. Oh, thick white bread. Beautiful. Love it.
Sounds beautiful. Can't wait for Thanksgiving now.
Alex Kirkman says, I'll reach Luke and Denise. Hope you're living at large. Here's my question. If WWE go with The Rock versus Roman at Mania, do you think the feud needs the title?
No.
No. Nope, absolutely not. The American dad asked Jesse Long, Lord knows AEW doesn't have room for another championship, but if they did and they absolutely had to, what new championship would you like to be added to AEW? Trios title is the title I would like to add.
I would say, given that they have so many people, the Trios title might be the best one.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon Williams, this is my first mailbag. Yes, please. I just wanted to ask, where do you think AEW would be right now if in the ratings if COVID-19 wasn't a thing? Do you think they would stay consistently over 1 million viewers? I also wanted to say thank you for doing what you do in these trying times. Even though I stopped watching wrestling, you guys are the reason I keep up with it. Keep up the good work and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Brandon. That's really kind of you to say. Honestly, I think AEW would be in the exact same position they're in now. I don't think it would have been much higher. I don't think it would be any lower. I think they'd still be where they are.
I agree. I think they only hit like 1 million there, or surpass 1 million when they debuted, and that's about it from my understanding.
I think that they did do over 1 million again this year. I think there was an episode with Jericho. I think it was the Jericho 30th anniversary episode, but there was an episode that did over 1 million, but I think it was when they were unopposed as well. When NXT went going against, and that's the thing is really is NXT is, and the whole purpose of putting NXT against them wasn't to beat them in the ratings, was just to siphon viewers away from them. Mark Jones says, hi, Luke and Denise. Coming back with a mailbag question this week. I watched the AEW games launch on YouTube and wonder what you guys thought of it. I've been playing wrestling games as WWF in your house on the PlayStation. I have to admit, I really like the look of the console game. I think it has potential to be great. I've never played No Mercy or WCW NWO Revenge, as I never owned an N64. So I don't know what Get It is all about. Do you think the console game will be any good? I suppose it can't be as bad as 2K20. I am excited for the console game. I know some people have been a bit snarky about the way that it looks, but I think that's kind of the point. It's supposed to look like a bit sort of cartoony stuff because it's going to be an arcade style game. So I think that is kind of the point. And I'm really excited about it. I'm a No Mercy fan. WCW NWA Revenge, WrestleMania 2000. I love those kind of arcade. I don't like sports simulation games, so I am much more of an arcade style player. So I'm very, very cautiously optimistic about it. I'm way more into it than I am the GM mode or the whatever that casino game is. But Denise, I know you are not a games player, so do you have any thoughts?
Games, but I'm totally opposite of you. If I were going to play anything, I would play that GM game or that casino double or nothing game, because I do download mobile games every now and then. But then I'm that person that'll download a game, I'll play a bunch of rounds, and then when I run out of all the free tokens and like the free lives and stuff like that, I uninstall the game.
Oh yeah, you're not the whale that they're after. That is what you know about this, like that they're the whale players.
No,
it's basically what is that? Mobile gaming is all about making you spend money. So like they give you a free taster and then they want you to spend money to continue playing it. And if you are one of those people who are a heavy user, you're called a whale. And that is what mobile gamers are after. They're after whales that they can rinse a lot of money on. I know, right? And I've previously been
a whale.
I've once was a whale for a game. Simpsons Tapped Out. I spent so much money. I spent probably about £200 on that game. And what was the point? Because it was an interactive coloring book. Like what was I thinking?
It was a coloring book.
It's basically a coloring book because, like, you build your own. Like, I call it disparagingly now. It's an interactive coloring book because that's what it is. Like, you're basically building your own little Springfield town, and you're like making people do tasks to get money, but you want to make them do the task quicker, so you spend money. I spent so much money on it, and what was the point? What was the absolute purpose of me doing that? Talk about a waste of money.
You could have gotten those fancy pants for half the amount. Do you realize your money could have been spent way differently? You could have had two pairs of those fancy pants.
I could have been Mr. Fancy Pants. And the second part of that is your all-time favorite wrestling game. And to echo yours, it's SmackDown. One is SmackDown. Here Comes the Pain is definitely my favorite wrestling game I've ever played outside of No Mercy in WrestleMania 2000.
I think I played Raw versus SmackDown. I don't know. It was like 2000, 2002, something like that. I played it like a couple of times. I had a season going and then my season got deleted. And I never played again. I was so pissed. I never went back.
And actually, Drew Smith has also got feelings about the AEW video game. Will you be playing it on your Twitch channel? I'm still subscribed to you guys. I would love to see you play through it, whatever the story mode they'll have. I think that when AEW do drop the video game, we may do something around either streaming it on YouTube or streaming it on Twitch. I mean, I would be up for it. We need to find a way to do it so that it's entertaining, because if it's just one of us on our own, I don't think it'll be quite as good. But we'll find a way to do it. Philip O'Reilly, hope you guys are having a good day. This is our last question. Luke, with you and Mr. Davis constantly unable to defend your championship, I was wondering, how much is the taxi fare to each other's houses? What do you think the taxi driver is thinking? And what is Denise's opinion on all of this? Can you also say hi to my 8-year-old Liam, who likes Luke but loves Denise?
Oh, I'm so happy that I'm loved. First of all, thank you so much for sending love to me. And Liam, thank you so much for watching the show and loving me more than Luke.
So it costs us about 40-50 quid to send this title back and forth. Some might say that's also a bit of a waste of money. I don't know what the taxi drivers think. I don't know if Davis tells them in advance what they're just taking cargo as opposed to people. A taxi arrives and I put it in the back, or it arrives and I just take it out of the back. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Denise? Have you seen us exchange the title belts?
I haven't seen you guys do that. I need to see that. But I'm like shocked that you guys like use taxis. And like, I forget that like taxis to me is like a New York thing. And then after that, like, I forget they exist.
I can show you. I've got one championship change that I can show you that's loaded into the back end. This was when I lost the title.
2 hours later.
So that is what we're doing.
I have a million questions. Okay, so first of all, your taxis aren't yellow.
No, they're just regular cars because they're just Ubers.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, but you call it taxi. So I thought you were talking like a yellow taxi, not like an Uber or a Lyft.
No, like our taxis, like you've got like black cab taxis in London, but like if you are a cab, you would just call it a taxi.
I'm so confused. Secondly, how far do you live? Like, how far apart do you live from Ollie?
I can Google map that, because I am West London and he is North London. Okay, so ask me another question while I Google map it.
Yeah, because okay, and then my third question, or not question, but like statement is, I don't think that would work here in Los Angeles. I think my Lyft driver would see all that gold and keep it.
Someone did say, guys, do you remember Jericho lost his title like through this sort of thing? Yeah.
You just don't know. Like, people might be like, you never know. They'd be like they'd be thinking like it's be worth a lot more. So then they might be willing to risk it. You know, I would not trust this form of transportation for your belt.
So it's 23 miles is to get to from mine and Ollie's house.
How many minutes is that?
With today's traffic, 1 hour, 9 minutes.
I don't know why, but I had the assumption that you guys all lived relatively close to each other and could like walk to each other's house and like, I don't know, just take the tube or something.
No, if I was to take the tube, it would take me, I think, probably about an hour and a half to get to Ollie's house. That was about an hour 14. I can get the Central and get to Victoria.
I'm shook, because I've only been to London one time and I was only there for like 3 days. So
it's a big place.
Yeah, it's talking to me. It's a big place.
Denise, it's the first time you've been on Quizlemania since the tag team match, I think, when you were teaming with SRS. How did you find being a solo competitor again?
So this was my third time on Quizlemania. I've been part of a losing team or on the losing end all three times. I did better on my first Quizlemania. I think I was third place.
You did, yeah. I think James Mansfield came bottom in that one, and you did beat James.
And I've just gotten worse and worse throughout my Quizlemania lifetime. And you know what? It's just my brain, Luke. Like, some people are really good at remembering stuff. That's not me. I don't remember anything.
There's a moment, because obviously I wasn't on this week's Quizlemania, but I was editing the podcast version of it, and I got to the first championship jamble, and it was a fight between you, Alex, and Ollie for who gets control of the board. And there is like 10 minutes of neither of you three being able to answer a question. That is, it's wonderful listening.
I was like, please, God, please let Alex or Ollie say something. Just please, someone speak. And I don't like silence. Whenever in life someone is being silent, I feel the need to speak. And I don't always think. I just need to speak to fill that silence. And so it was just horrible. Like, I had so much anxiety in those couple of minutes, and like, I was ready to have a freaking heart attack.
Oh man, I'm my plan is to do my big shop today, to go get my grocery shop. Like, am I doing it today or tomorrow? But I'm listening to that podcast. Like, that is, I've got it lined up, I've got it queued up, because I've only edited it brief, like they're just sort of in chunks. So I'm looking forward to listening to the whole thing.
It's, you're going to be ashamed of me. You're not going to want to do the show with me. There were some questions that I got wrong that were very questionable. It was terrible. After this, like, I was telling my fiance all the questions I got wrong, and he's like, oh my God, Denise, like, how? And I was like, I don't know. Like, my brain just doesn't work that way. And I really do think that there's people like yourself that are really good at retaining information like that. And then there's people like me that like watch everything, but don't retain the memory.
I mean, it was an admirable performance. And I would never not want to do this show with you. It's my favorite show of the
week.
I said as much in my my shoot promo that I did on Twitter.
I saw that. I was dying of laughter at the fact that how everybody did a promo, everybody, and everybody did something so different from like the other person that I thought was like the best part, because everybody just brought in their own piece of their personality. And so it was really fun.
I did that on my day off from work as well. Like, I was sitting here, like, I was playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and I thought, oh man, I need to do a promo for Quizlemania. And I had this idea of what I wanted to do. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it now quickly. And as soon as I posted it, I got a DM from Sean that was just like, I was literally about to post the same video. Like, I stole his spot.
He was so pissed about that on Quizlemania. He was like, I got scooped. They scooped me. Luke stole my promo, this and that. And I was like, wow. Sorry, you weren't as creative.
I know. It's supposed to be like, whoops, I stole your spot. I'm basically the super juniors, like before Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho taking all of their spots.
Yeah.
but it was a really, really fun show. I'm so looking forward to listening to the whole thing, Denise. The other thing I was going to ask you as well before I ask you about your weekend, it's Friday the 13th today. Are you a Friday the 13th, A, believer, or B, like, do you have anything that you do on Friday the 13th?
Well, see, the 13 for me isn't a bad number, because that is Taylor Swift's lucky number 13. So the Swifties love the 13. And so I know a lot of people get spooked out about Friday the 13th, but I see it as something positive, because, again, it's lucky number 13. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I, we watch Friday the 13th. We watch like chronologically, we watch a movie, and we haven't been able to do one since like February, I think. We haven't had many Friday the 13th this year, so we're actually really excited to get together and sit down. And what we've got, Friday the 13th part 7 lined up to watch tonight, and I'm so excited to sit down and watch it with my wife. It's gonna be great.
You know, okay, so I feel like a lot of people were always really into that movie for like years. I had always heard of it, but I didn't actually watch it until like 2 years ago was when I first saw the movie like ever. And they did a showing. So at down in LA and in Hollywood and like Griffith Park, they did like this outdoor showing of Friday the 13th. So me and my friend, we got to watch it like underneath the stars and like a spooky, like very like trees. They projected it on the mirror. We had like a little picnic basket and just a bunch of people just laying there. It was the coolest experience that I've had here, and I can't. I'm so sad that we can't do that anymore.
I know it sucks. Like I always think back to, it's about 10 years maybe now or so ago, that my friends and I on a Friday the 13th went to the Prince Charles Cinema here in London, which we've done work with. We've done screenings at the Prince Charles, and they did a Friday the 13th marathon. They did 1 through 8 back to back. And you just watched it like overnight. So it started at like 9 p.m. and it ended about sort of 5-6 in the morning. And it was so much fun. And like we got a Mackie D's breakfast, and then we got the tube back to one of our houses, and we watched the other movies in the series. So we then watched 9, 10, Freddy vs. Jason and the remake. And it was a brilliant, brilliant day.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it became a bit of our movie marathon club that we would get together like once a month and just pick a franchise and just watch them all back to back, which was really fun until you pick one that's really bad. So like we did a Halloween. We did a Halloween marathon, and that was a long night because a lot of those films are absolutely rubbish. And it was a long, long night. Have you got any plans for the weekend? There's no wrestling for you to watch. So like, what are you going to do with your time?
Well, what am I doing this weekend? I don't really have any plans, honestly. I think we're getting ready to eventually go into a shutdown here because our numbers have gotten... Oh, yeah. It's getting bad. California just surpassed 1 million COVID cases. And our numbers have gone completely skyrocket, like throughout the United States. And so I think that once Biden kicks in, I think we are going to go into like a 4 to 6 week lockdown, which I kind of hope we do because I'd rather get those numbers in place. But I'm kind of like afraid to go out right now because, like, again, it's gotten really bad here again. Like, this is probably like just people don't like, it's not that they don't care anymore, but I just think people are getting used to it. So they're like, okay, I put my mask out, but we're all going out and we're all getting together. So the numbers are going up here. So I don't know if I'm going to be going out much.
Yeah, I think my wife's been kind of in the same position where she's just been like, not afraid to go out, but just like, if I don't have to go out, then I'm just really not going to. Like, the rule kind of here is that, you know, shop solo if you can. So I've just been doing the shop since we went back into lockdown in March. I've just done the weekly shop and that's it. Like, my wife doesn't come with me. It's my podcast time that I'm calling it now. I get to go and listen to my catch up on all my podcasts that I've got. I think a lot of people here are just sort of getting used to it because we're in another lockdown at the moment. I think we're in for another 2 weeks yet. It ends on December 2nd. So we're, I think, just sort of hopeful that we'll be able to get Christmas. But, and to be honest, I think our government are just going to say just to sack off any, if we are in a lockdown throughout December, they're just going to sack it off for Christmas Day just so we can go and have Christmas, which I don't think is the best idea. But if it means I can't see my family on Christmas, then so be it. But I'm kind of hoping that I can.
I know, like even just like maybe a few of you or who knows, like my family is not even planning anything. It's just going to be my grandparents, me and my fiance. So just 4 of us. And that's it. That's like, it's so weird because like we're a giant Mexican family. Like there's usually way more of us.
I was going to say, like, are you getting together for Thanksgiving or are you just playing it by ear at the moment?
No, we're officially like not doing anything for Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's just like, it's official. Like, we're not doing anything.
Man. Right. Well, I mean, let's try and end on a bit of a brighter note, a bit of a happier note.
We started happy. Then we went downhill and just, it was my fault. I brought it up.
It's okay. It's not your fault at all. I did ask. We did actually have an email that was directed to us. Let me quickly get it up. Where is it, General? Where are you? So, Harry, who is a regular emailer into the show, we call him the Geordie bus driver because he's a bus driver and he's from Newcastle. So he's the Geordie bus driver, Harry. He says, hello there, Team Danook. It's your Geordie bus driver here. I hope you're both doing well. I love the Friday podcast with both of you having Denise as a permanent member of Team WrestleTalk. What a fun little segment for the podcast is teaching Denise some slang words from different areas of England. And what we're better off than to teach Denise some of my native language of Geordie. So hopefully Denise can also guess at some of these meanings. So I'm going to read out some like Geordie slang so you can, you know, learn something and maybe even have a guess of what they might be. So we'll start with simple. Alreet.
What was that?
Alreet.
Hello?
It is indeed hello. So you would like, if you would see someone in the street, you go like Alreet Luke or Alreet Denise. Let's do Canny.
Canny. awful.
Oh, close. It's actually good. Like, that is like, that is a lovely, nice, or a pretty good thing. Like, so you would say, like, ah, oh, Denise is a canny lass. I mean, yeah, she's a good person.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm not doing too bad. Add this round to Quizlemania.
How
are you?
That is exactly, yes, yeah. Or like, it's come along now. So like, if you were to walk, you would, he says, if you went for a walk and one of your friends was too slow, you would say, how are you, man?
Oh, I like that.
Doontoon is exactly how it's spelled.
Doontoon?
Doontoon.
Do you want to come? Do you want to go? Do you want to do this? I don't know.
I mean, it's basically, it's downtown. It is literally just like, I'm Ganon Doontoon. And the last one for now is, Denise will need this after the podcast, is to go home, go to sleep. In Geordie, we would say Ganham for a kip. Which is like Ganham for a clip. Ganham for a kip, rather. As always, lots of love for the Geordie bus driver, Harry. Thank you so much, Harry. An ex-girlfriend of mine, it was from the Northeast. So I've got a lot of like Northeast slang that's just sort of like in my back pocket. Speaking of people like, how are you, man? And I've always found it quite, you know, it's very charming. I'm a Scouser though, so I'm from the Northwest. So we've got very different slangs. But if you've got your own slang that you'd like to send in for Denise to learn, please do email us support@wrestletalk.com. Send us an email. But until then, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you as always, Denise, for being on the show. It is my favorite show of the week. Go get some sleep, my friend, and I will see you in 7 days' time. Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.